I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on freedom. I woke up.
This is Willie Mae Wells, foot soldier in the civil rights movement. You've probably never heard of her.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
On our journey along King's Road, we visited Tuscaloosa, Alabama. And like Ms. Wells, the story of Tuscaloosa is not well remembered in the annals of civil rights history. If anything, this southern college town is best remembered for Arthur and Lucy's attempt to integrate the University of Alabama in 1956 and Governor George Wallace's failed effort to maintain segregation in 1963 when Vivian Malone and James Hood became the first black students to successfully attend the University of Alabama. But segregation extended far beyond campus grounds.
We pretty much had separate everything. All of the schools were separated. In downtown Tuscaloosa, there were no black cashiers or salespersons. We might as well say the unemployment situation was not fair when it came to blacks. My mother was a domestic, and my father worked for the railroads. Tuscaloosa was just a segregated place. If you were going to ride the bus, you sat in separate waiting rooms in the bus stations or on the train. If you were waiting for a train, when you boarded the train, you were in separate cars. They were black cars reserved just for black people. You could not eat in the dining cars, of course. So we were left to bringing our little bags of food if we were traveling a great distance. That was the same situation with the buses. We sat at the back of the buses. So in essence, it was just a segregated situation.
The untold story of Tuscaloosa's civil rights movement is a rich history of resistance, activism, and resilience.
All of us, I guess you might call all of us, who participated in the mass meetings and in particularly in on Bloody Tuesday, we were called foot soldiers. And I think that was a term that was used throughout the South for those persons who participated, whether you were young, old, or whatever, we were called foot soldiers.
One of the pivotal moments of the civil rights struggle in Tuscaloosa became known as Bloody Tuesday. On June 9th, 1964, a group of peaceful protesters planned to march two blocks from the First African Baptist Church to the county courthouse to protest against the segregated restrooms and drinking fountains in the public building. The marchers barely made it out of the church before they were attacked by an angry mob.
They started to push us as marchers back into the church. My brother and I were together. We never made it outside of the church. And they began to beat them with bully clubs. They had the cattle prods. They started to throw tear gas bombs into the church and to break out the windows because they had instruments. They were throwing bricks. They were throwing, all of these things could be seen on the inside of the church after the melee had happened. So we were, my brother and I went out through a back exit. And we were arrested as we started to cross the street. But those, there were many who were still in the church who were tear gas bombed. We even had tear gas bombs set in the heads of some of the foot soldiers. People were looking for escapes under pews and in closets. And, you know, just merely jumping out of the windows. Wherever they found somewhere that they could escape because the tear gas was so overwhelming. About 6 months shortly thereafter, Bloody Tuesday, we did march to the county courthouse, and that was a success, and people were able to go in and drink from the water fountain. And it's amazing the very people who had been there to make sure that we did not enter into the courthouse on June 9th, 1964, were the same people who had to stand and protect us from any persons who tried to do anything to us as we marched to the courthouse.
Today, Ms. Wells, along with surviving foot soldiers and leaders, such as Maxie Thomas, Danny Steele, and Reverend Thomas Linton are sharing their experiences with a new generation of activists. Together with the Tuscaloosa Civil Rights Task Force, they are telling their stories to not only remember the past, but to foster justice and reconciliation going forward.
Segregation in Tuscaloosa and what led up to Bloody Tuesday and what we are doing thereafter, we are also doing reconciliation. So you have to find yourself, find where you stand, and as with the students who are with the shooting situation, where you have to take a stand on something. You have to decide which side of that fence you're on. There's so much out there that needs to be changed. We have not reached that dream that Dr. King talked about. I think that there's a lot that still needs to be done, but it takes people to do it. We could not have done what we did here on Bloody Tuesday had it not been for people being involved. People have to be concerned. You can't look and see things and then not take action on those.
Reporting from Kings Road, I'm Francois Denga with Utah Public Radio.